The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Now, I'm delighted to be joined by former Mayor footballer Cora Staunton, multiple All-Ireland winner herself. Of course, Cora, you've, as I say, four-time All-Ireland winner. Did you ever think you'd see the day when the men would get over the line?
Yeah, I'm sure I did think it. Just I heard one of the lads, I think it was Aidan O'Shea, speak yesterday. It was just about really when Mayo were going to win in All-Ireland. It was going to happen some stage, but I suppose the longer the wait went on and the heartbreak of the All-Ireland finals over the last kind of decade and a half, I suppose, you know, probably made it even more sweeter. But yeah, I thought in my lifetime I'd certainly see it, because Mayo is just a football mad county and it produced some of the best footballers we've ever seen. So yeah, it was an occasion to witness yesterday. I think very still a feeling of surreal, you know, really trying to take it all in, but you know, not really sure, has it really happened?
And I think pinching that's, yourself.
Yeah, and I think from, you know, talking to people last night and this morning, and people are still unsure what way to react, a bit like at the final whistle, because finally it's been done. You know, Mayo have won the Sam Maguire after 75 years. So yeah, it's probably soaking it all in, and I don't think it'll take a number of months before the Mayo fans really soak it all in.
You're feeling a bit tired this morning?
A little bit tired, yeah. So I was working late last night. And then,
well, you were on, obviously you were on, yeah, on TV.
I was on TV, yeah. And then
you did the dog, yeah, in the
afterwards. I caught up with a few friends and, yeah, ended up in that famous place in Dublin.
See you in Coppers.
Yeah, see you in Coppers. So, yeah, there was a lot of the Mayo boys there enjoying themselves. But, yeah, it was a brilliant night. I suppose Mayo fans have been waiting for so long. We've been in Dublin after many heartbreaking defeats, and we've been at homecomings, you know, where they haven't got over the line. So, you know, it was just fantastic. It was just fantastic to celebrate young, old, you know, to see, you know, the amount of people that were crying yesterday at the match, at the end of the match. And they weren't just Mayo people, they were just neutral supporter.
I was in tears watching.
Yeah,
this,
like, you know, which was, and as I was lucky enough to be up in the RT box at the time, and it was the most out-of-body experience I've had at a match. Like, it was just like that final 5 seconds. It was like, yeah, I really didn't know what was happening. So, yeah, it was amazing. And even to see the crowd that waited around to see Jack Coyne lift Sam, the Kerry supporters were so...
I thought it was amazing from the Kerry people that so many of them stayed behind.
Yeah, it was...
Real sporting.
And say there was probably close to 70,000 watching a cup lift, which I have never seen. Obviously, been up many of All-Ireland and never seen anything like. But and even Jack Coyne's speech afterwards was so emotional as well. And I was really glad he, you know, he remembered, I suppose, the players and managers that have gone before them, you know, especially that incredible team that were beaten on a number of occasions in 2013, 15, 16, 17 by that great Dublin team. So
just narrowly beaten each occasion,
and
a hop of a ball.
Some of the best footballers we ever produced, like, say, you know, Keith Higgins, Lee Keegan, obviously Andy himself. The list goes on, and then you think of the likes of James Horan, who was the unlucky manager. The likes of Kevin McStay, and then, you know, God rest him, John O'Mahony, who was, you know, a huge Mayo man as well. So, you know, there was all that emotion going through. You know, you look at the young kids here, they haven't seen the heartbreak we've been through for the last number of years. And then there was the people there, you know, my own dad, who's in his 80s, that were there and probably thought he'd never witness it either. And to be there and just the joy that the whole occasion and, you know, brings them, and then to come in here to McHale Park and just see the crowd of people that are here.
Yeah. What made the difference yesterday? I mean, you're right, Mayo were always going to get over the line at some point. But what do you think made the difference yesterday?
I think there's many factors. I think in Anthony, in any level of Anthony you do, you probably need to have a little bit of luck, and they had that along the way. I think Andy has obviously brought huge energy, positivity, and anyone that knows Andy well, that's the type of character. What you see on Andy speaking on TV or on the sideline is the way you see Andy. And, you know, he's his own business here just across the road. When you go into the gym, he's the same bubbly person, full of energy and really positive. And the players obviously really believed in Andy and the approach that he was going to, you know, that they went after himself, Colin Boyle and Paddy Talley in particular, and the players bought into that, and you could see they really wanted to play from yesterday. Their hunger, their desire from the first minute. I know you said they had a bad start, which they did, but it wasn't from the lack of trying. Their pressing, their work rate up top all over the field, it's just that their first couple of shots were either drop shorts or poor efforts. But the resilience of that, because a Mayo team to go 8 or 7 points down after 15 minutes in the game would have been easy to say, not again, not another year. But they weren't going to do that.
I thought what really impressed me yesterday was I thought maybe if Mayo were going to do it, it was going to be a tight game. I suppose you can't, it's hard to have a tight game with the new rules. But they really went after Kerry yesterday.
They did from the start. It was one of the most bravest performances that I've seen ever from a Mayo team. And that again goes back to Andy and the game plan that he set out. That high press, it's risk reward, because if something goes wrong in that high press and a player gets out or someone doesn't press, it gives huge space in front of that Kerry full forward line and David Clifford and Seán O'Shea and Dylan Gainey. But they went after it. They went man for man all over the pitch. There was no extra defenders coming back sweeping, and it was just pure work rate. So you're dead right, the way they won it, and they probably, as you said, should have won it by a few more points.
Well, I think if they hadn't hit the bar, if that had gone in,
they hadn't hit the bar, and before that they had five shots and four of them were wide and one of them dropped short. So there was that, and then the resilience as well in the last few minutes when Kerry came back and clawed their way back to it. And that two pointer that David Clifford and one that Seán O'Shea missed, it could have easily gone to extra time. But the lads, it never fazed them. They're really, really a mentally strong group, and again you have to put that down to the management team and the belief. And again, you ask me maybe what's the difference, it's the youth within the team. When you're 17, 18, 19, 20 playing football, it's very different. When you're in your late 20s, you think about things more, you probably worry a little bit more, you're more nervous. But it was like, young Dara Byrne's interview afterwards was amazing. But it was just like they were out in McHale Park at a training pitch. And I heard something this morning, Ryan O'Donoghue and them were, quite nervous. He spoke after the match last night that he was quite nervous, very sick, sick with nerves before the match. And Andy said he walked into the team room in the hotel, and some of the players were really nervous and built up, and he said there was Dara Byrne playing a game of darts, not bothered at all, and about to go out and play in the biggest game of his life. And that showed, because he did a super performance.
You mentioned Ryan O'Donoghue. What a performance by him. Is there a better tackler? Apart from his brilliance, apart from the amazing goal that he created, his skills, is there a better tackler in GAA than
No, I don't think it. And, I'd have said it as well last night. Ryan is coming from a boxing background. So Ryan was a very, very good underage boxer, won a number All-Ireland. So I think that probably helps
The
dancing feet and that kind of physicality in the tackle. He's a very strong guy. For Ryan O'Donoghue, I think he's 27, 28 years of age, but he's been that spiritual leader in that team for a long time. You watch him play, he's the one that gets the team up and about, he's the one that gets the crucial scores when you need it. And he's been trying to function, I suppose, in that forward line for a long time on his own in terms of scores over the last number of years. And he even said it himself, to have Kobe and Dara now beside him, that kind of youth and enthusiasm beside him has really helped him. It's probably taken a little bit of pressure on him, because opposition now have to worry about not just him. So
yeah.
His performance was immense. And remember, Ryan didn't start that well yesterday. His first 10 minutes were very shaky, he'd admit that himself. But from then on out, he was absolutely superb. And, for me, he's definitely Footballer of the Year. I just thought everything he's done this year is brilliant.
By a country mile.
He's class. Everything about him, he's class. And, he's a Balmullet man. And for anyone who knows Balmullet, they're bred very differently out there. They're very strong-minded and very strong-willed. And, he does a super year, and very proud of what he's done.
Just before we let you go, I have to ask you about Kobe, the boy wonder. Not everything went perfectly for him yesterday, but you know what? He never stopped looking for the ball. He never stopped going for the scores. He was brilliant.
Yeah, he's sensational. And I think what people tend to forget, a score from Kobe in terms of, if he puts a point over the bar, it's probably worth about two, because the crowd get behind him. And if he does something brilliant, like the crowd lifts, it's a bit like Clifford on the other side for Kerry. If David Clifford gets a two-pointer, it's like it's a little bit worth a bit more. But again, he's so cool, he's so calm. I think when he struck that 45 over the bar, he really then got into it for the last 15, 20 minutes of the game. I thought he was superb. And again, he's been a breath of fresh air. He's brought Mayo supporters and Mayo fans out. Young kids now want to be Kobe McDonald. So, obviously the biggest shame is that we're going to be losing him to AFL, and he heads off, I think, in the next couple of weeks, which is a shame. But isn't it brilliant that he's going with an All-Ireland medal in his back pocket?
It really is. And you never know, he might be back.
Yeah, he might do a few years and come back after that.
You're heading back to Australia yourself?
Yeah, I'm just going over there for a week. The international rules, the Irish team play Australia in an AFL game over there, so I'm lucky enough to be part of the coaching team. So, I was meant to be gone last Tuesday. I was meant to be gone this evening, but no, I'll fly tomorrow evening.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough. Cora Staunton, GA, Mayo GA legend. Thanks so many for coming into it.
Enjoy the celebration.
We definitely will. Let's bring in Austin O'Malley, and I think in a moment we'll go to McBurn, local publican. Austin, what does it mean to you that Mayo are today All Ireland champions?
Oh, listen, Shane, it's just incredible. I think there's, and Cora's sort of summed it up so well there, but it's just a sense of sheer pride, I think, and just relief. And it's very, very surreal, I suppose, waking up this morning and to know that your county has done it. And I suppose after that 75-year wait, it literally was a famine or a drought, would say. But I just think it was, yesterday was incredible. It was an incredible, incredible performance. And I think he touched on it there in terms of just the manner of the victory, the quality of it and the courage of it to chase Kerry down, who arguably... Yeah, you know, they're such a fine team, and they're peppered with quality, and just what Mayo done, I thought, over the 70 minutes, and as I said, the courage and the belief that they showed, and just to be in Croke Park, to see that just unadulterated kind of explosion of joy and emotion at the end of it, and to see young and old in tears. I think there was a moment there where, you know, maybe 20 or 30 seconds to go, there's a lot of people just looking around going, they actually didn't know how to react because it was so new to them. But when the hooter went, it was just an eruption, and it's just incredible.
When did you relax? Was it when Tommy Conroy knocked the ball over the bar, or did you literally not relax until the hooter went?
I suppose I've been around the game a long time, and there was moments within the game I thought that just, you know, there was tells all along. I thought Dara Byrne goal on 40 minutes. And I think the big one was, and you've alluded to it earlier, that run that Ryan O'Donoghue made, that he cut through the Kerry defence. There was just such defiance in it. It was like a bull running through the streets of Pamplona. Like, he just literally cut through them, offloaded, and then McBrien's flick to the far post to Dara Byrne, and the cool finish, and just a moment like that. And I mean, I've been in that stadium a long time. That literally, there was a Kerry couple beside me, and I think they even got a shock with just the noise and the cacophony of sound.
The stadium shook, didn't it? It really did.
Literally, absolutely, nearly stripped the panes off the girders in it, because I could tell, because you know, you're taking your read of Kerry fans, because they've been around and they've seen a bit. They were worried at that stage, and I just thought, this is on, we're going to do this. And then with the way they closed, obviously, it was nail-biting, but you still just felt that they were going to do it, you know.
I don't know if you were there the night that they lost to, I think it was here, wasn't it, in Castlebar, they lost by Roscommon by 10 points. Did you imagine at that point that there was an All-Ireland in this team this year?
I don't think anyone did, probably. They thought, like, you know, you get a new manager in, and there's always with these things, like, if you're around the game long enough, you know, the teams go through kind of cycles. You think that they come in and they build, and against Roscommon, they fell... You know, almost, you know, they fell very short. And I just think their game plan that day, and Andy alluded to it yesterday, that they got caught kind of between two stools in terms of the old way they were playing and the new system that they're trying to implement. And they committed to neither and they fell short. But I mean, you know, the big thing about this for me is just the character that the players have shown since that. And I know Andy and the guys have alluded to it, that, like, that it was down to the players the following Monday, that week after that, that they pulled, you know, Ryan O'Donoghue, their captain, they pulled the guys together and they decided, like, that they were going to get this thing back on track. And they certainly did, like, and they took a lot of criticism and a lot of abuse online and through maybe print media, that, you know, that they had blown it again. So they just deserve huge praise for the way that they have sort of re-energised their whole, you know, and home again. So it's incredible.
There's more in this team though as well, isn't there?
It's a great point, Shane. I was only saying to someone earlier, and they said, look, don't get carried away with yourself, but like, when you look through the profile of this team, Shane, like, you know, there's a hell of a lot of good footballers there, a lot of young guys, a lot of young stuff coming in Mayo as well. So I know we're maybe going to lose Kobe, but I'd be quietly asking Cora maybe to have a word down under. I think she might be going over as a negotiator now, more so than on her own bat, to try and break that contract. And no better woman to send. She's a fierce operator. So, you know, who knows? But like, when you look at the likes of Dara Byrne, Tommy Conroy, Owen McGrail, you know, this huge energy, like this huge lifespan left in Ryan O'Donoghue, Jack Kearney, all these guys. And even when you go back to the back end of Hessian, so they're quite a young team, and I think this can do them the world of good. And now that they've sort of broke the mold, that, you know, they really should be, I suppose, in those settles, that they should be looking and steering their ship forward again.
Okay. I'm looking out over the pitch here and the stadium is filling up really fast. I mean, there is something extraordinary about the relationship between Mayo fans and their team. There's a love there that is extraordinary, isn't there?
There really is, and it's always been there, but in the last couple of years, Mayo fans got maybe a little bit disfranchised. I think after the 21, when we lost to Tyrone, there was a bit of a drop-off, but it was very, very clear from the outset, and I think Andy has done this, and there's something that he really went after early doors, was to really reconnect the team with the fan base and to give the fan base something to believe in again. And you know, I know he's referenced that many times, and he keeps going back to maybe that moment in Monaghan when he looked around that day. He just thought it was incredible, and even the Tyrone game, that you know, the fans give them such energy, and like it's a huge, huge part of the Mayo story, I suppose, the fan base, and it always has been, and that was none more so evident than yesterday when you've seen when the Hooter went and when you look towards the hill and all around, like it was just literally, it felt like everybody in the county was there, young and old. So look, we have a huge, huge support and fan base, and you know, they've been all so diligent over the years in terms of believing and staying the course and keeping on the journey. And they got their just rewards yesterday. And my God, does everybody deserve it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, thanks a million for taking the time to talk to us. Enjoy the next few days. Austin O'Malley there, former Mayo player. Let's go to one of those fans now, Mick Byrne, publican in Castlebar. Mick, I know you never miss a game. Did you ever think you'd get to the promised land like you did yesterday?
Well, certainly, Shane, I didn't think yesterday was going to be the day at the start of the year, as Austin alluded to there earlier on, when Roscommon beat us by 10 points. But, you know, in hindsight, it was the best thing that ever happened to us, because we went into the loser's pot then, because the winner's pot was very, very strong at the time. And I just think from, you know, we just progressed and progressed and progressed. And Austin said about the spirit and the fan base and the whole lot. I think the atmosphere in McHale Park the day we played Mead was absolutely unbelievable. There and then I knew there was something special coming through. We came up against Cork, we came up against Louth. Definitely, you gave ourselves about a 30% chance yesterday. I was head over heart thinking that we would win. Thankfully, we did. And to me, it has been the greatest sporting occasion of my 70-year life.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, I think I've probably watched about 50 All-Ireland football finals, and the only one I can think of that compares was probably the Seamus Darby last-minute goal to beat Kerry in 82. It was an extraordinary occasion. It was an extraordinary match.
Well, you know, we actually talked about that yesterday before up there in McCare, up in Crow Park, a few of us, like, and certainly the energy that the boys showed after the 17th minute. Remember, we won 5 to a point down. They scored 119 to 12 points in the last 53 minutes, which is phenomenal. Like, the full forward line, everybody's been talking about Young Byrne, Kobe, and I don't know who. They're absolutely superb. But there was another 15 or 20. If, you know, James O'Connor was above, Mike Green was above. There were so many unsung heroes yesterday. Jordan Flynn, they were absolutely top class. And certainly, and believe me when I say this, it has given a new lease of life, not alone to the new Mayo supporter, but to the people of Mayo too as well. Everybody is happy. And I can see this going on with the help of God, Shane, up until Christmas, all going well.
I would expect nothing less. Listen, absolute pleasure to talk to you, and I'm delighted for you. I think the whole country is delighted for fans like yourself that have travelled long and had many disappointments over the years, but it makes it all the sweeter when you get over the line, Mick.
Well, I tell you, just before I go, there has been only one county in the country that I've never been in supporting Mayo. I've been in 31 of the counties, and the only county I was never in was Waterford. They've given us great enjoyment, great fun, and great crack. Mind you, they've given us many disappointments too as well, but they've always given us great pride, because we're passionate about football down here, and we love that Mayo team.
Mick, absolute pleasure to talk to you. Enjoy the next few days.
Thank you.
Yeah, we might even see you there. Thanks a million for talking to us, Mick. Thanks a lot. That's Mick Byrne there.
On this show, as entrepreneurs, we often talk about the courage it takes to start something from scratch. Every successful brand begins with a vision, a purpose, and someone willing to take a chance on an idea. And while every founder's journey is different, many share the same determination to overcome obstacles, innovate, and build something meaningful from the ground up. That's why I always enjoy hearing founder stories, because behind every product is a real person who has invested time, energy, and passion into building something meaningful. Walmart is helping customers discover products from thousands of small brands while giving founders opportunities to grow, reach new communities, and share the stories behind their businesses. By making it easier to discover these brands, Walmart helps connect customers with innovative products and the entrepreneurs whose passion, resilience, and creativity help bring them to market. So whether you're an entrepreneur yourself or a dream driver looking to be inspired, it's exciting to see more opportunities for small brands to be discovered. Visit Walmart.com to learn more about the small brands and founder stories available in your community.
Where the ocean kisses Ireland.
Ah, the green and red of Mayo never sounded as good. You are listening to The Hard Shoulder with myself, Ciara Kelly, coming to you live from Dublin. And of course, Shane Coleman in Castlebar, County Mayo, with his finger on the pulse of the West being away. How are you getting on, Shane?
Oh, Ciara, I wish you were here because you would absolutely love it. It's amazing. I'm looking over the pitch. Like, the place is nearly full already, and we're what? And like, it's at least an hour, probably longer, until the players arrive. The atmosphere is just, it's fantastic. Families, kids running around the place. It's just, it's absolutely wonderful. And it's, do you know what? I think I've seen 50 All-Ireland football finals in my time, and the only one I can think of that could possibly compare to yesterday is Seamus Darby's last-minute goal against Kerry in 82. And I don't even think that beats what happened yesterday. It was just extraordinary. Croke Park actually felt like it was shaking at times yesterday.
They couldn't have wanted it more. And you know what? 31 counties wanted it alongside them. It wasn't just Mayo. I felt small bit sorry for Kerry because they had so little support outside Kerry. And fair play to them. They were very good losers.
They've had 39 All-Irelands,
Ciara. Ah, they have, yeah. Yeah, it's not their day.
But you're right. They were very gracious. And the way they, and we spoke about it earlier in the show, the way they stayed on for the trophy lift, I thought that was absolute class from the Kerry people and the Kerry management and the Kerry players.
The atmosphere, though, in McHale Park, I'm sure it is warming up, but the atmosphere in the whole of the county, was it just wall-to-wall flags, bunting, colour everywhere you went?
Absolutely. And I don't think I've seen one person yet who didn't have a smile on their face. Like, it's just infectious. It's absolutely infectious. Ciara, I'm joined here by two proud Mayo men, Social Protection Minister Dara Cleary and Stephen Grealis, sports editor with Midwest Radio. Stephen, we'll get to your commentary in a moment. Minister, I've spoken to you on and off many times over the years about Mayo football. Did you ever think you'd see a day like yesterday?
You always had to hope, Shane. You know, you had to hope. And but I think, you know, Stephen and Martin's commentary yesterday summed up for the whole county. And anybody with any bit of Mayo blood, as we came into that final minute, that final couple of seconds, and it dawned on us this was happening. You know, it was just extraordinary commentary. And obviously, I was at the game, so I didn't hear the commentary. But to hear it last night and across the day. And yeah, look, look at this. Like, we're up here in the media tower in McHale Park, and there's guts of 35,000-40,000 people down here already. An hour to go. It's a sea of green and red. There's youngsters. I met a man on the way in there. He's nearly 90, walking in, and he was walking 10 foot tall. And this means extraordinary things to everyone. Right here in Mayo, obviously, across the country. I was really struck. We're coming down this evening from Dublin. There was people standing out of houses, adults, not just kids, with flags and waving flags. And, you know, right across the world, people are tuning in to celebrate this. And yes, it was just extraordinary.
Yeah, I mean, I know there's been so much heartache over the years, but all that heartache has made yesterday all the sweeter, didn't it?
Oh, totally, totally. You know, I mean, you know, we all remember days being here when there might have been maybe 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000. There was always thousands. There was never a small crowd here for homecoming. And that's, you know, the supporters are always great. And yeah, look, you all the days walking down Jones's Road after a game, you'd be wondering, what the hell, like, you know. I remember the 21 I learned, we were walking down, my niece was at her first match. I remember saying to my brother, geez, will we ever see this? My niece said, absolutely we will. And my brother said, oh, another generation buying into it. And that's what it is. You keep open, and then, yesterday's worth it. But, you know, you think of all those that have gone before us. Like, you know, people we went to matches with over the years, they didn't see yesterday. They're watching from the big stadium in the sky. So that was the first thing, you know, to think about them. And then just what a superb team, what a superb backroom team, their families, their friends, what they've given this. Not just this team,
yeah,
but every single team that went out
to win the Sam Maguire, and for whatever reason it didn't happen, they gave extraordinary effort as well, and today is their day too.
Just before I bring in Stephen, the other thing that really strikes me about this Mayo team and the manager is they seem like a really sound bunch of lads as well. I mean, the manager is a class act, but I just listened to the players being interviewed during the week. I just thought they came across really well. They came across like really unaffected, down to earth young men.
They really are, and you know, I was really struck yesterday. We were outside Gales, our normal pre-match hunt for the last 35 years, and the Mayo team bus came through, and it was just extraordinary. The roars, and they were totally unfazed. They were on the bus enjoying it. They were actually, it's one thing I remember thinking to myself, these guys are enjoying this. They're not nervous, they're not intimidated by it. And you know what, Stephen and I, we were at the dinner last night, and Kobe, I think Marty Morris, you might have asked Kobe about what was it like to play in Croke Park, and Kobe responded, it's just another pitch.
Ah, and I just brilliant. Thought,
my God, wow.
Wow.
Yes, brilliant.
Great to be 18.
Oh, God. He's not much more than this.
Yeah, well, let's bring in...
a bit.
Stephen, you're very welcome, Stephen Griggs.
Thank you.
Just before, let's have a listen to your comedy, because it is iconic, and it'll be remembered forevermore in Mayo and way beyond. I think, was it Martin Carney? Another Mayo legend.
And a gentleman.
An absolute gentleman. He really is. Describe what you were... I think we can gather what you were feeling, but describe what you were feeling when you were given that commentary. That was just as Tommy Conroy fisted the ball over the bar to kind of clinch it for Mayo.
Yeah, I think effectively once Jack Carney kicked that ball to David McBrien and we were moved into the other half of the field with 36 seconds to go, I think we knew it was done, but it was just a matter of conveying.
Was it you
emotion.
Or Martin that was shouting, hold on to it, hold on, because I was screaming the same thing, hold on, don't panic.
I was kind of saying bring it to the corner, but it was just the way it worked out. It was wonderful, and like, people have asked me what it's like. There was 60,000 Mayo fans there yesterday. Me and Martin were two of them. We were just the only two to have microphones, and we were blessed. We were absolutely blessed, like to be in that position. I mean, no word of a lie, I've never seen it. Your own Tommy Rooney was there as well. He was there too. I've never seen fans spill into the media zone, into the press box, but they did yesterday. But no one cared. Do you know? It was truly incredible.
You're obviously a good bit younger than myself and the minister. How many final disappointments have you endured?
I recall 2004 ever so briefly. I would have been quite young. I'd have only been five. But 2006, I remember really taking it in, and I was devastated when I didn't get to the final. Now, as it happens, the result wasn't a fruitful one. We weren't overly competitive on that occasion. But 2012 against Donegal was my first taste of All Ireland final day, and like sitting there that day. Funny enough, it was a strange one. I was very young, but I felt, well, Donegal have only won one, so it's nice. And you know what? Maybe it was foolish feeling sorry for someone else, knowing what was to come, because there was days there where Dublin just had our number and had our number. And even in 21, you felt, okay, it's a different opposition. Things might work. And you know what? You go up that road so many times. Like, I'm quite lucky that I was... I'm quite lucky that I grew up. My teenage years were the 10s. And 2017 was a year I'll never forget. Mayo played 10 championship games. Tyrone, I think, were the only team to ever do that before when they won the All-Ireland back in 05. We had draws, replays.
And they were brilliant.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, we took it so far along.
And maybe the best... Football and wise, maybe the best All Ireland final ever played.
I would argue 2017, and Darren might agree with this, we probably played a better game in 2017 than we did yesterday. Because that first 15 minutes, we were quite poor. And you would argue probably the middle section, maybe if you would break the second half into 3 seconds, the middle section, we kicked five wides in a row. Like, if you told me yesterday, you're going to kick five wides in a row between the 48th and 57th minute, I'd say, well, we haven't got a hope. But destiny was just on our side. And look, one thing that I really enjoyed, and it was funny, myself and the minister here beside me, we both had the same idea once we sat down here, because we've been down there just at the stage. We looked at that out in front of us, and we both said, hold on, I know you want to take in the moment, we have to get a picture of that. And we both done it at the same time, because what happened yesterday was wonderful. What's transpired here today is just truly incredible.
Well, listen, lads, thanks for coming into this. Minister, just before you go, what was your... Was it a nice feeling waking up this morning? And was that your first thought? Jeez, we actually did it yesterday.
Well, I had no voice, but yeah, it was. You know, I was looking at clips. I think we were all a bit shocked.
Yeah.
We didn't know what to do. Then you started looking at clips from home and clips and looking at texts and WhatsApps and, you know, we could see what this means. And now look at this. Just, I mean, I don't know. This is extraordinary. I know, look, Alan has just joined us on Dylan, and like, this is just extraordinary. He's more used to Kay Park than I am. I've never seen
Alan
like
Dylan. You're very welcome, Minister. Thanks for coming. We've got two ministers here with us at the moment.
I just tell Kira she's missing a great party. It's not like her.
Yeah. It is definitely not like her. Minister, thanks a million for coming into us. Sure, really appreciate Derek Leary there. Alan Dylan, Minister, but also, of course, long-time Mayo player, and you suffered a fair bit of heartache over the years. What was yesterday like for you?
I think it was a roller coaster of emotion. I suppose immense pride, immense joy, happiness. I think there's a bit of relief there as well.
I'm sure there's a fair bit of relief, is there?
There is. You know, the supporters have waited 75 years. You know, 75 years. Of that dream, and 75 years for that release. And you know, I just thought today it's over, you know, it's now over. And I suppose this generation of players today carried the dreams of us and past players over the last number of years. So to get it done, it's immense satisfaction, I think, for everyone. And I think the scenes that we see here today are a real celebration, not just of the team, but I think the county who are saying a real thank you to these players. I suppose to the supporters for waiting, for backing us, for believing in us, and just a lot of emotion.
You're getting emotional when you're speaking. You're making me emotional. Was it, you shed a few tears, I'm sure, yesterday, did you, at the final whistle?
Yeah, I think, you know, if you look at some of the heartbreaking defeats, you know, you would have said grown men were broken in those dressing rooms. To come back, to be on the team bus leaving Croke Park, disappointed, come back to these homecomings. You know, there's genuine people turned up. You know, they never actually turned their back on us. And they always turned up to the next FBD League game or the next National League game. And I think, I suppose, that just shows what it means to Mayo people. And I think about, you know, the parents of the players that played yesterday, parents, my former teammates. I think about all the grassroots clubs that nourished and developed these players. I think about the Mayo diaspora in the likes of, you know, Boston, in New York, in Sydney, you know, all those supporters who come back and forward every year. And I think, you know, last night was just a release for everyone.
Okay. Fiona McHale, Mayo footballer, is with us. Fiona, thanks indeed for coming in to us. What was different about yesterday? Was it youth just that kind of unhindered youth just going for it, and not even thinking about it? Because like you won in style. It wasn't just it wasn't just like a great defensive effort. You actually went after Kerry from the very start.
Yeah, I think the youth and exuberance, as people had referred to going into the game, that they didn't think that the young lads were going to fear it. But like, you have to remember as well, they had a lot of like leadership and a lot of experience behind them as well and guiding them, and obviously Kobe McDonald, Dara Byrne, they were outstanding. Young McGrail in the corner as well. But after the game, the people I was thinking about was like the likes of Killian O'Connor, and I saw him lifting the cup with Dermot. They're from my own club, and you'd be just so delighted Killian, both of them, but for Killian especially. Like, he came back this year, he'd opted out last year, and he decided to, you know, go at it again, and you know, to probably have a few setbacks along the way. I'm sure that wasn't easy, but I can absolutely imagine, and I've no doubt that it meant every bit as much to him not setting foot on the pitch for majority of the year. Same thing with Aidan not getting to play yesterday.
Wasn't it great to see Aidan O'Shea lifting it? I mean,
it
couldn't happen to a nicer fella as well. And like, some of the stick he's got from pundits and stuff over the years, I've never understood it, I have to say.
Yeah, and you can be sure as well that in the lead up to the game, like, and all year round, I'd imagine, like, Andy refers a lot to the meetings that went on and like the unity within the group. Like, you can be sure who was driving that as well was those older guys that had the experience and that know-how, and we all know that those guys have it. Like, they've been thereabouts. Like, obviously they've had their heartbreak, but I think it was the, I actually, yes, it was the youth, but I think it was the combination. I know it's a cliche, but the combination of the youth and experience, it was just obviously the perfect balance.
It's a cliche because it's true. Minister, talk to us about your former teammate, Andy Moore. I hadn't had the pleasure of meeting him. He comes across like a very humble, very pleasant, nice fellow, but obviously there's a drive and determination there as well.
Yeah, he's an exceptional person. He lives, breathes and sleeps Mayo. A Mayo GAA, I think, you know, in his first year, he's done exceptionally well in reshaping the team, you know, especially after the setback against Roscommon. You know, I think overall, if you look at his National League results, there were some very good displays. He brought the youth forward, he believed in them, and I think he probably learned from his playing career, you know, where Mayo can actually develop and you know, I suppose deliver on the big occasions and on the big days. And I think all that experience with the likes of Colin Boyle and with Keith Higgins, and I suppose just delighted for them all, because you know, at times it's a thankless job, you know. Intercounty football is pretty ruthless. Sentiment is out the window, especially on the bad days, and I think the belief that he's instilled in this team, and I suppose the hard decisions that he's made, I suppose the setbacks, some players got injured, just didn't make the squad, but he stuck to his beliefs, and you know, full credit to him. It's just an amazing story.
Yeah, Fiona, how has it turned around from being back here a couple of months ago and Mayo losing by 10 points to Roscommon? How did they turn it around in such a short period of time?
I'm not so sure, but you can be sure that, as Alan said there, they were just sticking to their principles, and I'm sure Andy had a plan, and he probably trusted in what he was doing. He trusted in the group that he had. He trusted in the fact that the young lads were going to be out of under 20. There was lads there in college. I know he's referred to it a lot, but I'm sure after that Roscommon game, they knew there was more to come, and they knew that they were going to only get stronger. And obviously, it's just the way the championship went. That was way back in April. Like, that was a lot of time to work on things, and obviously have a lot of luck along the way as well. Like, you know, some of the games they got over the line just about, and then obviously then, you know, they played Cork, they played Louth, and they just looked like they were getting better with every game, and they were just loving the Croke Park experience as well, and it just fed in nicely. And I think people forget as well about Kerry. Like, Kerry yesterday were, that was the most players that they had available yesterday, with Thomas Sullivan back in, so they were only just getting back to where they needed to, and I think Mayo just took advantage of that, and I think they just had full belief.
Young legs help as well, don't they?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Like, you could see it at the end, like the run that Kobe MacDonald made and Tommy Conroy, like at the end they were still running as strong and as hard. Like, that's obviously the training as well.
Kobe doesn't even run, he just he glides.
He does, he just glides, yeah. He's an absolute amazing athlete. People can't even believe, because a lot of people wouldn't have seen him play until this year, and he didn't even play at the start of the championship. So a lot of people, like, their first experience of seeing him playing was against Roscommon, and the following Wednesday they played in the under 20 Connacht final, and I think that was where people started to see who Kobe MacDonald was and what type of player he was, and it's honestly astonishing what he's doing out there. It was unbelievable, and you'd have to really admire him for, like, such a young lad, the maturity. And even yesterday a lot of people were asking him about Australia, and he didn't even want to go there. It was all about Mayo yesterday. Just seems to be so grounded and a grey head on his shoulders.
Brilliant. Listen, thanks a million for coming in. It was an absolute pleasure to talk to you, Fiona McHale there, Mayo footballer. Thanks a million for coming in. Let's go to Loretta Blewett now. Loretta, how are you doing? Are you there?
Hi Shane, how are you?
I'm good. How are you feeling today?
I'm feeling good. Tired and emotional today, like every other Mayo supporter all over the country and all over the world, I'd say, even if people haven't been to Dublin or haven't been even home to Ireland. I'm sure they're supporting wherever they are, in London, New York, Boston. I'm sure the party's going to go on for a couple of weeks.
I presume you were there in Croke Park, were you?
Yes, I am not long home now, and I was just driving through Ballina there a few minutes ago too, and even though the homecoming is happening in Castlebar, the flags are still flying, the noise, the horns are still blowing, and people smiling, out having conversations, great crack, everyone's in good form, so it's really good to see all around the county.
Have you had a chance to chat to your famous cousin, President Joe Biden?
I wasn't chatting to him yet today. Now I was chock-a-block discussing and the the game with so many people today, but I believe they were watching yesterday and cheering on from America. So it was great to see, and I know he was a, you know, he has his Mayo jersey from when he was here and as the president, and also when he was the vice president. So he's got a collection of Mayo jerseys. I hope he was wearing his yesterday.
I'm sure he was. What do you do next year?
I don't know, Sam, now is finally secured. Yeah, this is the thing. Now we're gonna be spoiled. Now we hope it won't be 75 more years now. But you know, as your
I don't think it will. I genuinely no, think I don't there's think no chance. So, yeah.
I just from listening to the other speakers in there, I think there is. Yeah, there's this huge you know, fair play to Andy and the management team. They went for youth and it worked for them yesterday, and they were relentless. They showed great confidence. They didn't have any hang-ups from previous games and from previous years and stuff like that. So it was brilliant. And look, they are very young, and Kobe's heading off to Australia with the help of God, maybe not for too long, but he'll be going with his All-Ireland medal and hopefully coming back with some more tricks and tips that he can add to his collection. And you know, he might be back in time for another All-Ireland, who knows.
Just before I let you go, I'm just looking out over McHale Park. It's rammed and the atmosphere is extraordinary, and people are jumping up and down and dancing to the music and stuff. What is it about the relationship between Mayo and the county team and Mayo football? What is it about that? Because it is unique, I think.
Well, we just live and breathe Gaelic football in Mayo, from a club scene right through to the county, and it's just incredible. And my first All-Ireland was in 1996, and I used to have the pleasure of working on local radio here in Mayo for a long time up Midwest, and a couple of years there when the homecomings were on and Mayo had lost, I had the misfortune or the pleasure, I don't know which, of sitting in the outside broadcast studio presenting a show when the teams were coming back. And there used to be a huge amount of support even when Mayo lost, so I cannot even imagine what tonight's going to bring. And the rest of the week, there's just going to be homecoming. The lads are going to be exhausted. I don't know when they're going to get back to playing club football, but I think they'll need a bit of a rest. I'm sure they'll be celebrating for weeks to come, but it's just brilliant. It'll give us a huge lift in the county as well. You know, it just, I was talking to some of the former Mayo players last night, and you know, one of them said to me, geez, what are we supposed to do now? I think that was the line of the night last night. Like, what are we supposed to do now that we've won?
I think you're supposed to just enjoy it. I think just enjoy it, Loretta.
And it was interesting from a former player to say, like, we can hold our heads up high now. We're part of, you know, something great. Yeah. And
part of the journey. And I don't think yesterday would have been as sweet if it hadn't been for all the disappointments over the years. I think it all added to the concoction that made yesterday so special. But listen, thanks a million for taking the time to talk to us. Enjoy the next few days, the next few weeks, and indeed the next few months. Loretta Blewett, thank you so much for that. Back in a moment here on The Hard Shoulder. Now, I'm here in McHale Park. There is 40,000 people here rammed into McHale Stadium. The excitement is building because the team are going to arrive pretty soon. I'm looking out. No, they haven't quite arrived yet, but they are going to arrive very, very shortly. Henry McKean, lots of tears in Croke Park yesterday. Still a few tears here as well?
Absolutely, Shane. Absolutely. Shane, yes, yeah, there are tears. There's lots and lots of tears. And there's also flares going off. Many people have been crying.
75 years, like, 13 or 14 times in All-Ireland, and, you know, walking down crying from Croke Park, I suppose. You know, it's just a buzz, like, you know. That's it, kids watching, the kids really excited, and I suppose just want to bring them here today.
I'm feeling a bit emotional as well. Kobe.
Kobe, you love Kobe?
Yeah.
Amazing. I actually can't believe that they won.
So you just can't believe it?
I actually can't believe it, no. We came down to Mayo from Offaly. My dad's from Mayo.
So you support Mayo because of your dad?
Yes, exactly, yeah. So we came down to watch it there in Castlebar in the Mall, and it was absolutely unbelievable.
Incredible.
Incredible, yeah. Unbelievable. I actually can't believe that we won it.
Ecstatic. I honestly couldn't believe it. I thought when the first 15 minutes, with the big difference after them getting the goal, I didn't think it would come back after that. But we did, and I couldn't believe it.
How are you feeling?
I'm literally over the moon. Cannot believe it. And it's the one match I missed. after 13 years time going up and down, we missed yesterday.
You didn't go to Crow Park?
No, my husband had a bad accident, so we stayed and watched on the telly, and it was good. We've seen it all. We had lots of tears, like everyone in the county. After 75 years, it is just amazing. That was the year I was born, so I know it was 75 years.
So you were born 75 years ago?
Yes.
51?
51, absolutely.
And for you, there must have been seas of tears.
Special. It was such a week. We used to be crying, what's another year? What's another year? This is the way we used to come home. But this year, thank God, Andy and all his crew, oh my God, they really and truly blew it out of the water. We were thrilled. And last night down Castlebar was unreal. Till 2 a.m. in the morning. It was packed.
You were there until 2?
Yeah. With my sons, we went up. I tried to get up the town in the car, and then we left it and walked up. Just for the atmosphere, it was amazing.
It was something else, wasn't it?
It was. Absolutely.
It was special.
So we're going across now in a half an hour to see them land with the cup and hopefully get a chance to go close to it.
Oh, great stuff. Henry, how class is this event? Let's face it, it's just amazing.
Kira, it really is. It's very, very classy. It's amazing.
It's class, and how do you feel?
Good.
What's the best thing about it?
That they won the cup.
And how do you feel?
Good.
And what's your favourite thing?
When they won.
And what do you think of all the honking of the horns and the cars?
Brilliant.
So you were in Ballinagh. What was it like?
Oh, it was mental. It was brilliant buzz, brilliant atmosphere. Yeah.
I'm still in disbelief, to be honest with you. We were up at the game yesterday, and I came down last night down home. And I still can't believe it.
You're wearing the traditional white jersey, the one that they won in 75 years ago. How does it feel? And did you get any sleep?
I did. I got a good night's sleep, yeah, thankfully. It's great. Like I was in the green and red jersey yesterday. So this is the only clean one I had left. So
the only clean one you had left?
Yeah.
And you're going to enjoy this homecoming?
Oh, yeah, dead right. Yeah. It's going to be class. Be class.
I'm chatting with the guy that went viral. Why did you go viral?
I said mayo for Sam and Kerry for butter. Someday.
And you're sticking to it?
I am, yeah.
Oh, I'm feeling amazing. It was great to see them win.
I have no words to describe this. Brilliant. History for these lot.
And history for you too.
And for me, yeah. I have an uncle, this is his third one he's seen. He's 96, so.
Well, it's well deserved after 75 years.
It's my first one after, I've seen one. And it's good to see them win after 75 years.
Yeah, good to win after 75 years. And after 75 years, the Mayo bus is slowly making its way up the street just outside the stadium. There's a Garda escort, and people are getting incredibly excited. In the next few minutes, they will be coming into the stadium. Henry, who else did you talk to?
It's absolutely incredible. I met a family just there beside the bus. Here's that family.
We're just outside McHale Park here. There are tens of thousands of people. How are you feeling? Your home is on the doorstep of this magical event.
This home, this house, has a lot of history to it, Henry, you know. Paddy Baskill was my uncle who gave me this house when I was 15. And he was the treasurer of the Mayo County Board for 25 years. And he died in the 80s. And like he never saw this. He waited so long. So today we honour him, we honour everyone before it, you know. So it's very emotional, but fantastic as well, you know.
So you're honouring all the people that aren't alive to witness this historic day.
Yes, absolutely. It's amazing. From the coaches we had at under 10s all the way through, it's amazing. A lot of people have put their shoulders to the wheel of Mayo football and never saw any results out of it. Today, vindication for so much of that.
So how proud are you?
Oh, hugely proud. It's amazing. It's, you know, maybe in sports you don't have to win and lose. It's not a zero-sum game, but it's still lovely to get this. We've learned so much from Mayo football. Even when we've lost, we've learned so much because we've had days together. It's been beautiful. So this is a lovely, lovely period. And it's great that so many people now are vindicated for all the work they've put in.
And I can feel the love coming from you, your family and your friends. Congratulations.
Thanks very much. Really appreciate it. Mayo Boo.
We've been following Mayo a long time. This crew here and a few more that aren't here today. You know, this is what friendship is about. These are the memories we have, and it's the glue that's kept us together for literally decades at this stage. A lot of us here lived abroad. We were in Korea for, I was there for 10 years. Mayo were in 3 All-Ireland finals while I was living there, and I came home for the 3 of them. And I was gone at half-time in one of them. And we obviously lost the others. And, like, to be in Croke Park yesterday, I have to say this because my wife was here, the best day of my life was my wedding, but yesterday was the second best day of my life.
You'd kind of wonder what he would say if the wife wasn't there. Henry, you also met the Scullys.
I did, and they're celebrating their mum's 84th birthday.
Hi, welcome to the Scully household here on McHale Road. It's a great celebration today. Marie Scully, who is a mother of seven boys, is 84 today. So we celebrated last night. We rung in her birthday, and her sons, her grandchildren, relatives, possible daughters-in-law, possible sons-in-law are all here to help her mark the day. So we're going to have a great day today. We want to keep the party going.
So, Marie, do you remember 1951?
Barely.
Barely remember it.
Yeah, there was no television then or anything, just the radio.
So you had to listen on the radio?
No, I didn't even listen on the radio. I was made kneel down and pray the whole way through the match in case they wouldn't win. My grandmother, yeah. Kneel down, myself and my sister on our knees and keep praying. But there was great excitement, like, afterwards. Yeah.
So how does it feel now that you're 85?
Oh, it's 84.
Sorry, 84.
it's magic. I still can't believe it, like. I was crying half the night last night.
So very, very special.
Brilliant. Very, very special. Because we're waiting years. We're on this road now since 1969. And every year we were hoping like this would happen, but it took a long time. But it's worth waiting for now.
Congratulations.
Thanks very much.
I'm Mike Kelly from Bohola, involved with the Moy Davitts Club here in Mayo.
You must be over the moon.
Over the moon is an understatement, exactly. We're still trying to figure out if this is actually real. Until we see the trophy, maybe here in McHale Park, then we'll know it's actually happened.
You are a volunteer. You do so much for Mayo GAA. For you and for the grassroots, what does this mean?
This means everything. I mean, we have a player in our club, Cian McHale, who's involved with the team, and it makes the club, the community, everybody so proud. Everybody across the county is so proud of them. Whether you're a volunteer or just somebody who goes to watch the games, this means everything to the people of Mayo.
Hello?
And I'm having a chat with your son. You're just 6 years of age. How happy are you that Mayo won?
Very happy.
How happy is very?
Extremely happy.
Yeah, Henry McKean reporting there. Well, excitement has reached fever pitch here. Jack Coyne, the captain, is about to walk into this stadium, McHale Stadium, with Sam Maguire. We will be reporting on all of that after the news. Thank you indeed, Aidan. We are live from McHale Park in Castlebar, where in the next few seconds, the Mayo captain, Jack Coyne, is going to carry Sam Maguire onto the pitch for the first time in 75 years. Our Gaelic Games correspondent Tommy Rooney is with us. Tommy, we're watching history unfold in front of our eyes.
Shane, what a privilege to be here. We're seconds away from this place going absolutely bananas. Look what's in front of us. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people. Hundreds of flags. Nothing but green and gold.
Yeah. Did you, at any stage in this season, imagine you'd be standing here come the day after the All-Ireland final watching a Mayo team? I think they're about to walk out, Tommy, but did you ever think that would happen?
Pat Kenny accused me of being a dreamer with John Duggan being a realist on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. on News Talk, so there's your answer.
So were you one of few pundits who was predicting?
I don't know if I put my neck in the chopping block, Shane, but I must have talked myself into sounding like I thought there was a chance, a hope. But nobody gave them a hope. Nobody gave them a chance, and I think that was dangerous talk, and Andy Moran just had them in the perfect place to go out and do what they did.
How good a manager must Andy Moran be? I mean, that turnaround in the last 2 months, the way he dealt with the press, the way he dealt with the hype in inverted commas, he's some manager, isn't he?
First and foremost, he's a good person.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
He was a great footballer.
Brilliant footballer, former footballer of the year.
He used his brain when it came to football. He's also a good businessman. If we look over to the left, there's a gym that he runs over there and he owns. And his family are so important to him. He's brought them with him all along. And he's made that team a family. And they're all rowing in behind each other, backing each other up. The players, if you talk to them, they felt unburdened and empowered at the same time. How does a manager do that in one season? He's obviously got very good people around him.
Yeah.
But it's also that he's legit. People see him that he's energetic and he's happy and he's positive. But you need so much more than that to get through to fellas of so many different ages and so many different varying levels of experience and quality. And he led them through a roller coaster season, but they were very good at times. And I think we maybe underestimated just how good they were.
You know, I came out of the Loud game thinking, I was obviously disappointed how Loud did, but I was thinking, God, Mayo have a right chance. And then people kind of talked me out of it and said, no. But did we underestimate how well they played that day? We assumed Loud just didn't have a good day, didn't turn up. But Mayo were just awesome that day, weren't they?
Mayo were awesome. And maybe we hadn't quite seen enough of it in a general sense to fully believe that it was all Mayo that day. And it wasn't all Mayo. Loud made plenty of mistakes, and Mayo thrived on the turnovers. But maybe now we're looking at it and we watch back with a bit of hindsight, maybe Mayo forced those mistakes. Maybe Mayo's high press, the manner in which they aggressively went after the Kerry defence. Now, it was on another level in the All-Ireland final.
It was.
They raised their game again, yeah. Another level, you know. But I do think the Loud game, it was as much to do with Mayo as it was to do with Loud. But Mayo were phenomenal that day too.
Now, if somebody had said to me this Kerry team would be beaten this year, I did not think it would be beaten by a team that went after them, that went toe to toe with them. That was the extraordinary thing about yesterday, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, they were obviously beaten by Donegal a little earlier in the year in the championship, and it was a different scenario maybe. And the red card that day made us think, well, maybe that's not the real Kerry that we saw that day. And then they go and they play Armagh, who were beaten by Loudon and Inishkeen, and we say maybe that wasn't the real Armagh Kerry bet. So we weren't quite sure what the form line was with Kerry. The way Andy Moran set up his team, we're in such a new era of Gaelic football, we haven't quite seen a team go after another team as aggressively and as high up as they do. What did Jurgen Klopp call his football? Was it heavy metal football?
Yeah.
That kind of gegenpressing style?
Yeah.
Pushing up.
It was heavy metal football yesterday.
It was. You're taking risks. And if Kerry, the thing that caught me was Kerry seemed surprised by just how aggressive Mayo were. And maybe Mayo surprised themselves, because Jack Kearney told me afterwards in the tunnel at the Hogan Stand that 2 months ago, the Mayo full forward line as a trio would not have pressed as aggressively and tackled as hard as they did, but they sat them down as a team and said, as teammates, we need you to set the tone up there.
You mentioned Jack Kearney, that two pointer he got when it looked really bad, it looked ominous for Mayo, that arguably was even as more important than the goal, arguably, wasn't it?
It was huge, and it was into the hill. It was so difficult. Are we about to see Sam Maguire coming out here? I think we are.
We saw a flash.
I think it's coming, Shane. Now, this place cannot wait any longer. They've waited 75 years in about 15 minutes. They cannot wait any longer for this.
Look at how many people are here. There's at least 40,000 people there.
They were saying 35, but there's closer to 50, I'm telling you. And this is just Castlebar. Like, people went straight to Westport. Tomorrow night is Ballyhawness for the homecoming for the captain. They're going to be going to Ballyhadreen. On Wednesday, they're going to the home of Kobe MacDonald of Cross Malina, to Ballina, who have been county champions so many times over and have plenty of players. This does not stop today.
Or next week.
It's
not, next month, I suspect.
This is going to be unbelievable.
What is it about Mayo people and this team? Is it forwards from the disappointments, from the coming so close for so long? I mean, they obviously love their football, apart from anything else.
I think that's the key. They love their football. And it's so important to them as a group of people. And not every county have it. I guarantee you now, some of the teams that Mayo bet along the way, I'm talking about Loud, Cork, Mead, Monaghan, Roscommon, they'll be thinking, if Mayo could do it, we could do it.
I sent that very text to a friend of mine, and I think I named every single one of those teams.
But are they as obsessed with football as Mayo are? Because the odyssey of the Mayo footballers hasn't just been that they haven't won in 75 years. It's that they kept coming back and kept getting to All-Ireland Finals. So there was a level there that we were maybe underestimating. And not sneering at, but kind of saying, oh, typical Mayo, the curse, they fall short. But the fact that they kept coming back, 89, 96, 97, 04, 06, 12, 13, 16, 17, 20, 21. They kept coming with different teams and they kept finding new ways to lose. But they loved their football, so they kept coming back.
But you know what? And that's why I never understood the sneering. Because to me, you know, it's easy to come back after you've won a game. To come back after so many heartbreaks, to keep coming back. Is there anything more commendable than that? I think that's why everybody in the country was so thrilled for them yesterday.
I have Andy Moran's autobiography in my bag. Its title is Lessons Learned in the Pursuit of Glory. I'd hazard a guess it's going to sell a few more copies. And there may be a second book coming at some stage from Andy Moran. And his great mentor, John O'Mahony, if you remember back in the day, his wife Geraldine planted a flag in the ground, read it, green and red, with the words, keep the faith on it.
Yeah.
And Andy says in the 69th minute of the game yesterday, he looked up to the skies and he said a little prayer to Jono. If there was ever a time for you to help us, now is
we
the
need
time
to win this kick out. Pádraic O'Hara, former Mayo footballer, is there. Pádraic, a pretty special day.
A pretty special Monday, lads. What a day. Absolutely madness, isn't it?
You called it right with us last week, Pádraic.
Yeah, I was just about to say, where are you off to saying all the pundits wrote Mayo off? I was there, and maybe a slightly you biased were opinion, but I had the boys backed. In a championship lads, in a championship full of chaos and madness, and you know what it was, the closer it got, once we got over that semi-final, I could feel nothing but this happening. It's a fairy tale ending to probably, arguably, the best championship I've ever seen anyway.
Definitely. I was saying earlier, the only final, and you're too young to remember it, both you, Tommy and Pádraic, the only final that I think comes even close to comparison is the 82 Seamus Darby Offaly win. Like, in terms of how it captivated the whole country, it was extraordinary, Pádraic.
It has been extraordinary, and you know what? I'm still not even back in Castlebar with a few bits to do with GA Plus today. I can hear the green and red of Mayo going on there now.
Yeah. But hey, Pádraic, how are you not here, man?
Because I was flat out still working. Here. I know, but you know what? To be in Croke Park yesterday was the magic of it there. I've come through Roscommon, lads. I'm on the Mayo border here at the moment, sitting, waiting, talking to you. And to see Mayo flags even on the way through Strokestown and Tulsk is unheard of. It's unbelievable. The whole country has gone Mayo mad the last while. And you know what? It says something about the sport. It says something about the GAA. It's pure magic, lads. It's pure magic.
It is absolute magic. Pádraic, you must have been so proud at how Mayo played yesterday. That I remember you as you were a front foot footballer, and Mayo really played on the front foot yesterday, didn't they?
It's been our identity from the time I started playing and before that. You know, it's like I said it in the lead up to this game, and I think we've heard the words courage and bravery, and like they just needed to be. And they've set out their stall. They were unbelievably courageous yesterday, lads, and that was the only way that they were ever going to beat Kerry. And you know, like for everybody watching that game yesterday, that's going to be the template now for Gaelic football, and it's going to make for more exciting football and more crazy championships. You alluded to the likes of Westmeath, Loud, Monaghan. All of these teams now are going to play, hopefully, as aggressive front foot football, and it's just going to bring the game on and on and on. I just think it's fantastic. Like, that's going to be the style of football coached all around the country now, thanks to the Mayo win.
Well, Pádraic, we know there's a great copycat culture from the GAA, so I do hope you're right with that. I hope that there's going to be plenty of heavy metal football coming forward. The one thing Jack O'Connor said at the very end of his press conference yesterday, when it was put to him about appreciating this for Mayo and obviously being so difficult as a Kerry manager on the sideline, could he appreciate what it's like for the people of Mayo? And I thought his answer was brilliant. He spoke about this being good for football, this giving hope to other counties, and this being something Mayo achieve. And if Mayo can do it, if Mayo can get over their baggage and whatever curses and whatever else is out there, anyone can go and do it. Because we know that Dublin and Kerry have won over 50% of any All-Ireland football final ever played. It's incredible. It's so hard to win an All-Ireland if you're not from Dublin or Kerry.
That it is. I think you guys were there yesterday too. Like, that's a magical moment that will live on forever, whether you had a Mayo jersey on you or not. It's just monumental for Irish sports. That's obviously Sam arriving there, isn't it, lads?
No, still no sign, Pádraic. Keep
still
talking.
Still no sign.
You're still
Jesus.
Waiting. You're still waiting.
But you know what? So just to tip my hat, and I think we can all acknowledge Kerry. Talk about graciousness in defeat. Like,
class.
It felt
absolute
like Crow
class.
Park. There was still 82,000 people in that stadium when the Sam Maguire was lifted. Like, and all yesterday evening out in Jones's Road, even this morning at breakfast, like, they are, you know, they're top class, and they were absolutely fantastic before, during, and after that game. Like,
They really were. Pádraic Ó Thuaidh, listen, we'll let you get back to it. Enjoy the rest of the week, and congratulations, and thanks indeed for talking to his former Mayo footballer, Pádraic Ó Thuaidh. They can't keep the crowd waiting too much longer, Tommy, can they?
No, they can't.
Although, as you said, they waited 75 years. What's another 10 minutes here at this stage?
I think the Saw Doctors and the Green and Red of Mayo was the perfect little intro here. Surely, Jack Coyne is about to lead out the Mayo footballers.
Yeah. We certainly hope so. Talk to us about the boy wonder. How important was he? How important was just that confidence, the exuberance he brought to Mayo?
Kobe is magic. He really is. And if you spend any bit of time with him, or you're lucky enough to come across him, what a grounded, brilliant young individual. And clearly he's been raised by really good people and minded by really good people, and it shines off him. And when he's on a football field, all that kid does is express himself. Honestly, it's on the most granular level. I spoke to him this morning. He loves football. He loves sport. It's a release from, and he just goes out there and does what he loves. And you see it. It shines off him. He nearly scored one of the great All-Ireland final goals yesterday. Shane Murphy pulled off one of the great All-Ireland final saves.
What a save. We should mention Ryan O'Donoghue as well, because for Mayo to win yesterday, Ryan O'Donoghue was always going to have to play out of his skin, and he did.
Ryan O'Donoghue is the man. He is it. And Mayo needed somebody to lead them, and he did. Honestly, I'm not sure, and we have seen some great All-Ireland football final goals. The late Paul Clancy played one of the greatest passes into the path of Declan Meehan in 2000 when Galway fell short against Kerry. Yeah. Declan Meehan roofed it into the top corner. Joe Kavanagh for Cork against Mead in 99 danced his way through a load of bodies. But yesterday, David McBrien made an interception in his own defence. Gave it to Ryan O'Donoghue, bet three men, played it back to McBrien, who made the interception. His big paw flicked it to Dara Byrne. Young Dara Byrne sells a dummy and plants it into the top corner.
What a goal.
Possibly the greatest goal we've ever seen in an All-Ireland football final.
It may well have been. Do you know what? He reminded me of Maradona against England going through. Now, he didn't finish it, but he laid it off to be finished.
And hey, McBrien with the hand of God.
I love it. I'd forgotten about the... I haven't even seen it back yet.
It's just a big paw from Balahedrine that comes out of nowhere and knocks it directly into his pad. It was brilliant.
Yeah. The other thing about... You mentioned how grounded Kobe is. I was listening to interviews with the Mayo players last week, the likes of Jack Kearney and others. And so they just come across like really good
and
impressive.
Here we go,
men.
Shane. This man, Jack Coyne, who is teasing us with the Sam Maguire Cup just beneath us. He gave one of the great All-Ireland final speeches yesterday as well.
I heard it compared to Connolly's speech in 1980, Joe Connolly's speech in 1980 for Galway.
Yeah.
A lot of that was Os Gaeilge, if I remember rightly.
Muinseann an Galway, people of Galway, we love you. Is that the same one?
Yeah, Muinseann an Galway, yeah, it was.
That was epic, and the great Connolly family, that was Joe. And Peter Canavan's in 03 when Tyrone finally won their All-Ireland was a phenomenal speech itself. But Jack Coyne had so many people to get through, and he did it in such a brilliant way and paid respect to all the people who had gone before in Mayo. And that's what makes this so emotional. All the stories we hear about people that have waited their whole lives for this moment, and now it's happened.
People who feared they'd never see it, here they come. Jack Coyne has just walked out holding Sam Maguire aloft. We might just listen to the crowd for a second.
And his two vice captains behind him, Ryan O'Donoghue draped in a Mayo flag, and Darren McHale, who's been injured all year but was their best forward last year and played a huge role this year in the background.
Yeah, and a lot of the veteran players played a big role in the background as well, the Aidan O'Shea's.
Oh, lads, this is incredible.
I really hope that noise is coming out across the airwaves, because it's louder than Croke Park yesterday. I didn't think that was possible.
There's shrieks. There's shrieks.
Not only can we hear it, but we can see it because it's on TV simultaneously. It looks incredible. I have tears in my eyes, and I've barely been to Mayo in my life.
Kira, we'll hand back to you. Tommy Rooney, thanks as always for that. Kira, I'll hand back to you in the studio.
Thank you, Shane, and thank you for some fantastic broadcasting from Castlebar, from McHale Park today, because it is absolute scenes in Mayo at the moment. Complete madness. The whole stadium is going wild. The whole team is now out on stage. The Sam Maguire is aloft and the West is awake.
The Hard Shoulder with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman. With Kia. Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.